contractors everywhere is because, precisely because they cannot be held accountable. Did you notice when they had, the discovery of the tortures in the Iraqi prison, did you notice that all the fingers pointed everywhere, but everyone did their best not to point it at them? We had General Kapinski point it at others. Rumsfeld is pointing at others. He didn't read it. He didn't read General Taguba's report. No one read anything, and no one's in charge of anything, and that's because military contractors did some of this stuff, and no one's watching them to seeing what they're doing. But the real truth is that military contractors and other contractors are being hired to do things that the government doesn't want its hands on. Now, it's long been a well-known secret in the intelligence world that the U.S. government, when it wants to torture someone, because we have a constitution and because the Eighth Amendment in the Bill of Rights of the Constitution prohibits cruel and unusual punishment, in other words, it prohibits torture, that when the United States wants to torture prisoners, what do? They send them to our wonderful allies, the dictatorships of Saudi Arabia and Egypt. And in Saudi Arabia and Egypt, they torture the prisoners for us. Isn't that nice of them to provide us a service like that? And they do it at practically no charge. Well, you know, we give $1 billion to the Egyptian government and we give hundreds of billions to the Saudis buying their oil, but for free, for only that, they're willing to torture our prisoners for us and get confessions and so forth. That's actually been a fairly well-known, not too well-guarded secret intelligence community for years. But now, we don't need the Saudi Arabians. We don't need the Egyptians. We can torture them ourselves with the new invention of contractors. They can't be held accountable. And this way, we can order them to do things. And then when they do them, we say, oh, well, they shouldn't have done it. But have you noticed that they haven't been fired? That our contracts have not ended? And they continue to do it? And most importantly, that if a military contractor or any other contractor shows an abuse or fraud in government to the public, they can and are being fired. It's exactly the difference between them and government workers. So I don't know if any of you can defend this. We Democrats in Congress have been fighting against it. In fact, you may remember the big dispute over the Homeland Security Department. When the Democrats had the idea of taking all the intelligence together, combining it in one, it was actually Joe Lieberman's idea, Senator Joe Lieberman, former vice presidential candidate under Gore. Senator Lieberman's idea was to create the Department of Homeland Security to bring all the intelligence sources together to try to prevent September 11th. George Bush fought hard against that department. He didn't want it, and he fought against it for 9 months. Then when he found that the public liked the idea, he turned around, did a flip-flop, which Bush is famous for, 180 degrees, and decided to endorse the department, but only if they wouldn't have worker protections. What was one of the worker protections? Whistleblowing. Because George Bush wants to make sure that if, and again, I really shouldn't say George Bush because we all know he doesn't really know what's going on. So let's talk about who's really in control of the government. Vice President Dick Cheney and Karl Rove did not want whistleblower protections in the Department of Homeland Security because if they're making mistakes, let's just say, I mean, it doesn't have to be abuse or torture. Let's just say anything that they're doing that's wrong or illegal and they don't want to come out, they know they can fire the military contractors. But you can't fire a government worker for telling the truth. That's the whistleblower protections. So what happened? The Department of Homeland Security was going forward. Bush insisted on stripping it of the whistleblower protections. The Democrats said no, and they went to the election of November 2002. I don't know if you remember this, but they went there accusing the Democrats of being against the Department of Homeland Security. And apparently it worked. They got Senator Max Cleland out of office in Georgia. Now, Max Cleland is a Vietnam vet. He lost 3 limbs. Two legs and an arm, fighting for the United States in Vietnam. Clearly a hero, whatever you thought of the war in Vietnam. And they got him out of office saying he was against the Department of Homeland Security. But now you know the inside scoop. It wasn't about the department at all. It was all about accountability. The Democrats proposed the department. Bush was against it. And then when he flip-flopped, he insisted that there be no whistleblower protections. He insisted that if you find fraud, waste, or abuse, or torture, that you should be fired if you tell the public about it. It's all about protecting those wonderful Republican things, fraud, waste, torture, all these American values that Bush wants to protect by avoiding whistleblower protections. So when we come back, we're going to have Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky on the line, and she's going to talk about contractors in government, What do you think about them? What does she think about them? I don't think she's a big fan. And you'll find out. And listen, if you want to call in, again, call in early. The earlier you call in, the better chance you're going to have to get on the air. Congresswoman Schakowsky is only going to be with us a half hour. The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP. 877-577-2667. It's toll-free. You can also send me a comment to comment, COInsideScoop.com. And we'll be back on the air with Jan Schakowsky, Congresswoman of Illinois, talking about military contractors right after this.
Was a medical doctor, he'd be considered a dangerous quack, and his license to practice would have been yanked long ago. Instead, he's an economist, the unelected head of America's monetary system, and his quackery is not only tolerated but lauded by the powers that be, who've been using him to bilk the middle class. Greenspan's trail of quackery begins back in 1983, when he chaired a commission that persuaded Congress to raise the Social Security taxes of working folks. This radical surgery was necessary, Allen said, to create a surplus to assure that future retirees would get the benefits they're due. Quack. But instead of locking these surpluses away for future retirees, Greenspan left them open to raids by any president needing a quick pile of cash for a pet political project. The latest to make the raid is George W., who dove headfirst into our Social Security surplus to pull out the billions he needed to pay for his tax giveaways to the rich. Greenspan himself told Congress that such tax cuts were necessary to, believe it or not, prevent the buildup of government surpluses. Even though the bulk of the tax giveaways went to the richest people, Greenspan promised that this would not harm working families counting on their Social Security benefits for their retirement. Quack, quack. Just recently, the quack was back, urgently telling Congress that because of out-of-control budget deficits, Congress must now slash Social Security payouts as soon as possible. He urged that every retiree's benefits be cut and that the retirement age be raised. Quack, quack, quack. In his 20 years of practicing economic voodoo, here's what the mad doctor has achieved. Working people had their Social Security taxes raised so rich people could have their income taxes slashed, which he now says means that working people must have their Social Security payments cut. This is Jim Hightower saying, this quack has done enough harm. It's time to yank his license.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
We're back here on the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from Washington that the government does not want you to know. And I've got now my guest, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of Illinois. Congresswoman Schakowsky has really been at the forefront of challenging the government use of contractors, not just in the military, where they are involved, some of them, in some of the really gruesome abuse and torture we've seen at the Abu Ghraib prison, but throughout the government. And I want to welcome Congresswoman Schakowsky. Thank you very much for being here on the Inside Scoop.
Thanks, Mark. I'm glad to be with you.
If you want to call in and ask a question of Congresswoman Schakowsky, please do so. The number is 877-57-SCOOP. It's toll-free, 877-577-2667. Congresswoman Schakowsky, you just recently issued a press release. What is it that concerns you about the government use of contractors?
Well, They are not part of the military chain of command, so it's questionable in a situation like Iraq or perhaps in Colombia where we use contractors. Who do they call? Do they call the CEO of their for-profit company, or do they call the general? How does their action fit in with the mission of the United States? And they're not part of the Uniform Military Code of Conduct, which can prosecute soldiers or, you know, officers who depart from the law under the military law. So it's not even clear how these individuals are held accountable at all.
Well, let me ask you about that. We now have seen some of these gruesome pictures in the Abu Ghraib prison. And some of those were done apparently by people in the military, and some were done apparently by contractors. What do we do? How can those people be prosecuted? What happens now?
Well, we know that they are covered by the Geneva Convention, and they may be prosecuted under what's called the Military Extraterritorial Jurisdiction Act that was passed in 1999, but that is untested. But as of last Friday, maybe it's different today, these companies had not heard from the Pentagon, and as far as I know, no one had been fired. And so far, all the worst that's happened to these people, I guess, is that they've been fired. It seems to me that we have to have some sort of accountability of these individuals. This is $100 billion industry right now in the world, and they have some of the highest paid lobbyists lobbying for them in the Congress. But who are these people that they hire? There's no uniform vetting procedure. We don't know what the standards are, what the job descriptions look like.
Well, one thing we can do is name some names, Congresswoman Schakowsky. Is it Halliburton? What companies are we talking about here?
Well, in terms of the prison, the worst, I mean, I think that has kind of focused everybody's attention on contractors. We're talking about CACI and Titan companies that were doing, they were hired to be interrogators, linguists within the prisons. I've been trying to get a hold of those contracts. The Pentagon, it appears, has not even relocated the contracts for those two companies, and so we've been having a hard time getting a hold of them. But if you talk about naming names, in that now famous General Taguba report, the report that was out in February, you know, the one that
right.
told about all the atrocities, they name a name, Stephen Stefanowitz from the CACI company, and quoting from the report, it said, instructed military police who were not trained in interrogation techniques to facilitate interrogations by setting conditions. He knew, this is again from the report, he knew his instructions equated to physical abuse. So there's two things here.
Well, wait, no, you say he knew his instructions equated to physical abuse. Are you talking about written instructions or?
No. No, we're talking about the verbal instructions as far as we know. So far, nothing has emerged in writing. But the point here is instructions to military people. In other words, MPs, people in the United States military in uniform, we're taking orders now.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. So the contractors are actually giving orders to our soldiers rather than their generals or that are supposed to command them.
It looks like outside of the chain of command, again, this is from the Taguba report. I'm assuming that you know, is all being checked out. But this report states very clearly that these hired interrogators, private companies, we're giving orders to our military. And that's, you know, that's what we're hearing from these seven individuals, that they were following orders. You know, I still think they should be held accountable.
Well, of course, but if it's systemic, we've got to catch the people that gave them the orders as well.
Exactly. Again, from the report, it says there is a general lack of knowledge, implementation, and emphasis of basic legal, regulatory, doctrinal, and command requirements within the 800th Military Police Brigade and its subordinate units. This is systemic. This is a serious problem. And in fact, the Red Cross found that up to 90% of the Iraqis held by the United States and allied troops have been arrested by mistake.
Wow, 90% were arrested by mistake. So these aren't terrorists we're talking about. These are ordinary Iraqis trying to live their lives that were arrested by mistake.
You know, It's such a bloody mess right now. If you really think about it, Mark, first you recall the reason we went in was weapons of mass destruction.
Okay, right, none of right.
Then it was that
to stop the rape rooms and the torture is what they told us.
What?
So they said Saddam Hussein had rape rooms and torture rooms, and we were
going to
stop all that.
Exactly. And so we're going to go in to bring democracy and freedom and human rights,
right.
And there we are.
Right.
We don't even know who the enemy is. We're arresting Iraqis. Maybe 90% of them are just... by mistake.
Let me give out the phone number again. If you want to talk with Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, here's your chance. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. It's a toll-free number. If you're at work and you can't call on the phone but you want to email me, you can send an email to comment, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at RadioInsideScoop.com. Congresswoman Schakowsky, I'd like you to confirm something that I was telling my listeners before you came on the air, and that is about whistleblower protections. As I understand the law, if you're a government worker or you're in the military and you tell the press about waste, abuse, or in some instances torture, you're protected. You can't be fired. But that if you work for a military contractor and the exact same thing, you expose waste, fraud, abuse, corruption, maybe even torture, you can be fired. Is that correct?
Well, it could vary from company to company, but certainly there would be no particular regulation protecting individuals in these private companies, and I have to assume that reporting on that could very well be grounds for abuse. As I say, that may vary from company to company, but clearly there is no built-in protection into the law for those individuals.
Let me ask you this: whether I've noticed this is a pattern. This is obviously the worst case, just coming up in the torture. But when I worked as an attorney in Congress, I remember the Department of Homeland Security being formed. Republicans didn't want whistleblower protections. I remember that when they talked about the new Transportation Security Association, the people that check us on the planes, they didn't want that to be government. They wanted that to be private. And that throughout the government, I mean, it's not just Homeland Security, throughout the government, the Republicans are trying to privatize virtually everything. What do you think is behind this? Why do you think they're doing this?
Well, I think there is this incredible ideological commitment that somehow, no matter what, the private sector can do it better.
Right.
There certainly has not been any kind of really good cost analysis, certainly not a cost-benefit analysis, of contracting out these, you know, vast numbers of jobs. Are we, in fact, saving money? Now,
is there no CBO study, Congressional Budget Office study, on any of this, or a private university or foundation that explored this issue?
Well, I know that there has not been in terms of the contracting out when it comes to this war in Iraq. And
okay.
They just allege and allege and allege over and over again that it's cheaper by we don't have to pay these retirement benefits to these contractors. We can bring them in and let them go at will. But I have to really question that, and we do want to have a full investigation of the cost analysis here, because it seems to me that if you're paying some of these people $100,000 to do a job that military personnel will do at a fraction of that, then I think it's not certain by any means that it's even cost effective. But I think certainly when it comes to the use of these private contractors in the military, that one of the things it does is put an arm's length distance away. You know,
plausible deniability, as they used to say.
Exactly. There were private contractors who were building airstrips and essentially preparing for the war in Iraq way before the Congress voted in the fall of 2002. If we had been deploying military to build airstrips to, you know, put it all together, someone might have said, well, what is going on? Are we preparing for war? But when you deal with these private companies, everything is below the radar. That's certainly been true in Colombia, where there have actually been contractors who have been killed in a war that's been really shrouded in secrecy. It's
actually
hard to find out.
I don't think many people know about what's going on in Colombia. Maybe you can share that with people.
Well, Well, I mean, it was at first a counter-narcotics effort called Plan Colombia, where we were going to use military people up to a certain limit in number down there and private contractors up to a certain limit to spray coca, to do reconnaissance missions, etc. Now that mission has crept into being officially also counterinsurgency, because there's been really a civil war in many ways going on in Colombia for many, many years. Not many people know about it, and that's exactly, I think, what the government wants. What are these people doing? Is this a secret war? How can we find out? It's much harder when you're using private military contractors to really get to really understand. And if they get shot down, well, nobody cares quite as much as if a soldier loses his life.
True, though, of course, in Fallujah, we found a case where there were four contractors that were, killed and their bodies dragged throughout the street. And that led us to a whole new front in the war. Do you think that maybe military contractors, in addition to not being as carefully watched, they're actually Americans that are living more unsafely because like what happened in Fallujah?
Yeah, I mean, and I think the reason that really ignited the interest of Americans was the utter brutality,
sure,
of it, the way that Iraqis were rejoicing,
right,
over this,
over,
you know, with
killing
so,
dead
with
bodies,
so shocking to people. But
yeah,
yes, you know, and I actually don't think the question was asked that much. What were they doing there? How did that coincide with the U.S. mission in Iraq? Were they taking risks that they really shouldn't have? And, you know, but it,
let me ask you this. As a member of Congress that's watching this very carefully, when the Pentagon, and I assume it is the Pentagon, please correct me if I'm wrong, signs contracts with these military contractors, are those contracts, I know they're not open to the public, are they open to you? Can members of Congress review those contracts and see what we're asking these people to do?
Well, I have to tell you, we've been having one heck of a time getting hold of these contracts. We have a request in now for the CACI and the Titan contract, which, as I said, they can't seem to even locate right now. I mean, we can't.
That's pretty ridiculous, isn't it? They can't locate it right now?
Yeah,
that's what they're telling you?
Uh-huh. That's exactly right. Right now they can't really locate it.
Oops, we lost our contract, our $100 billion contract to put thousands of men on the ground and women to... Oops, we can't find it?
Oops. Well, this one is probably for fewer in terms of the interrogators, but at least that's what we're hearing, that we can't, we I don't know if somebody knows, but right now we are told that's not available right now, and as I understand it, that it is somehow lost in the system. So we're going to be pursuing that all this week to try and get a hold of those exact contracts. Anyway, your question was?
Well, no, my question was exactly that. If those contracts are open to congressional inspection, and I think you just answered my question, maybe they should be under the law, but they can't find them, which, again, sounds like a pretty flimsy excuse.
You kind of have to laugh about this issue of secrecy, because last Tuesday at our leader Pelosi's launch, one of my colleagues got up and said, if you want to see General Tacuba's report on what's been going on in Iraq, you can either go to the fourth floor where the Intelligence Committee is, sign in, and look at the report. Just look at the report. Or you can go to npr.com and download it.
Which is a lot easier.
Yeah, a lot easier. We chose the latter. But this penchant for secrecy that this administration has, and, you know, even when things are supposed to be given out, it's not that easy to get the information. And of course, you know, they've been trying, and they will continue to try all week to keep the photos secret.
I want to talk more with you about that. We've got to go to a break. But
sure,
when we come back with Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky and your calls, all you have to do is dial in toll-free 877-57-SCOOP. Here's your chance to get information from someone who knows all the Bush administration is willing to tell us and more. Like, again, they're not willing to tell us much. But Congresswoman Schakowsky is definitely kept on track of this. Here's your chance to ask her a question. Again, the number is 877-57-SCOOP. You can also send an email to comment, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at radioinsidescoop.com. And we'll be back with more from Congressman Schakowsky right after these messages.
is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
With a significant proportion of Americans in Iraq working not for the military but private contractors, the insurance companies that provide their benefits are also being exposed to risks. Just in the last month, workers' compensation claims among American contract employees in Iraq have surged, so much so that some insurance companies are considering ending policies covering companies with employees in Iraq. Under U.S. law, private companies doing business in a conflict zone must provide workers' comp insurance to their employees. But if companies feel fiscal risk outweighs the benefit of underwriting such policies, it may force the U.S. to reconsider the entire structure of its occupying force.
New numbers from the U.S. Department of Labor show the unemployment rate fell to 5.6% in April from 5.7% in March. Employers added about 288,000 jobs, mostly in the low-paying service sector. Lee Price is the research director at the Economic Policy Institute. Price thinks Bush's policies are directly to blame for America's economic downturn.
They chose to give tax cuts to very high-income people and to corporations rather than giving jobs to people directly, to giving tax cuts to low- and middle-income people. There's lots of things they could have done to create jobs more effectively than they have done.
Despite April's jump in payrolls, President Bush has seen a net 1.5 million jobs evaporate during his tenure and is on track to be the first president since Herbert Hoover to lose jobs during his presidency.
As an HIV scare ripples through Southern California's adult film industry with five positive cases confirmed so far, thoughts of collective bargaining are not far from the minds of porn actors and actresses. Dozens of them are now holding regular meetings to draw up a list of grievances with the industry and plan to launch the tentatively named Adult Entertainment Workers Union sometime later this summer. Key to the drive are demands for better health care and disease testing practices, as well as a push for higher pay. As it stands now, adult film actors and actresses are paid per diems with no overtime, even though spending 12 to 16-hour days on the set is common practice. The last time porn stars undertook an organizing drive was in 1998, coinciding with another HIV scare when six people tested positive. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Analysis from the House of Representatives Government Reform Committee of Medicare's new prescription drug benefits suggests senior citizens may pay more for the medicines they need, not less. This month, a prescription drug card program was launched off 70 different cards and plans. According to the committee report, some of them include hidden annual fees and selective drug coverage. And the report also found that the same drugs from Canada still cost less than the new Medicare discounts.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from Washington that the government does not want you to know. And my guest, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, has been fighting the government, trying to get all that information that they don't want us to know. And I think she's doing a terrific job. And if you want to call in and ask questions about her, our topic is contracting, the ones that basically, our government is hiring private people to take the jobs of government workers and of our soldiers, and we can see that they're doing a pretty lousy job now, at least with regard to the prisoners in Iraq. So if you want to call in, the number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-577-2667, or you can send me an email. Send an email to comment, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at radioinsidescoop.com. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine and Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky.
Hi.
Hi, what's your first name and where are you from?
Yeah, this is Gordon from Michigan.
Hi, Gordon from Michigan. What's your comment or question?
Well, I've heard stories about the fact that the International Red Cross sent some derogatory reports about the prisons in Iraq to the administration for almost a year that have been ignored. Do you know anything about that?
Congressman Jan Schakowsky, do you know anything about the Red Cross reports?
The one I'm looking at now that got reported was a leaked report from last February. So that's the one, that's what I know. But I also know that the human rights minister in the Iraqi Governing Council actually resigned because he was giving reports to Bremer that were essentially brushed off about abuses that were going on. So it would not surprise me that the Red Cross has been making reports for longer, certain than last February.
Congressman Schakowsky, I've heard that, in fact, we've when I say we, I guess I shouldn't say we, but let's say contractors and certain people in the military have been hiding data, hiding reports, hiding abuse from the Red Cross. Have you heard of that at all?
No, I think all of this now is beginning to spin out. We're gonna hear more and more from human rights organizations, from documents that get leaked. I think that it's kind of a stream now. It'll turn into a river, and then we're gonna have a flood, because it's impossible to really hold these things back, particularly because they're looking now for fall guys. And while I blame those individuals, if this administration thinks they're going to get away with some kind of a swift trial of one individual, and that's going to prove that they're really serious about it, I think they're going to find another thing coming.
Gordon, do you have any other questions or comments?
Well, I'm also wondering, I know the IG inspections started around February or so, or maybe even in November, but I'm thinking, was this prison abuse actually continuing during these IG inspections? I think it might be possible.
Do you know anything about that, Congressman Schakowsky? Were they actually continuing the abuse while the inspections were occurring?
No, but, here's something really interesting. Last fall, they brought in General Jeffrey Miller from Guantanamo Bay. And I think at that point what they were concerned about is that they weren't getting enough intelligence from the prisoners. And so Miller wrote a report that said it is essential that reported in the Taguba report of last year, it is essential that the Guard Force be actively engaged in setting the condition for successful exploitation of the internees. So he's coming now last August, September, last summer, to Iraq and suggesting that we get a little tougher now. And now he's, of course, the guy that's been brought in to oversee the whole thing from Guantanamo Bay. So it would not surprise me one little bit if even during these inspections and the reports that this abuse had continued.
Let me ask you, if I could, about a name that I keep seeing popping up in the press, and that is Army Lieutenant General William Boykin, who is most famous, I think, for saying that our war in Iraq is about a conflict between Christians and Muslims, basically a religious war, and Muslims are on the side of Satan. My understanding is that Army Lieutenant General Boykin is, in fact, one of the heads of military intelligence, and that they're saying that these tortures, all orders, may have come from military intelligence. Are you aware of any specific role that he has played?
No, although, that was not only just a huge embarrassment, but, of course, contributed to reinforcing what this torture is reinforced to, that the United States has absolutely no respect for the Muslim population in Iraq.
It
inflamed the entire Muslim world. But I am not aware of a role currently that Boykin is playing.
I'm just wondering, since he worked for military intelligence, and that seems to be the group that's, I mean, is it your understanding, as I've seen from press reports, that it was military intelligence that seems to have been behind a lot of these abuses?
Yeah, they may have been behind it, but it looks like some of the military police, none of whom have had any training in interrogations, were the ones, or at least part, were also
that did the act.
They were the ones that were putting the hoods on, putting the prisoners in these horrible positions and stripping them naked, et cetera. That apparently is part of setting the condition for the interrogations.
Okay, but it's not clear yet who ordered them to do this.
No, it's not. It isn't clear yet.
I see. Gordon, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let me go to another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine and Councilman Jan Schakowsky. What's your first name and where are you from?
Michael Beckett from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Michael from Pennsylvania. What's your question or comment?
Well, I just wanted to reiterate the military and the defense are rather inept. I did business with them as a saw sharpener in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And if I undercharged them vis-a-vis their requisition, they wouldn't pay the bill.
You know, that's really interesting, because this is the kind of stuff that I'm getting from my inside sources that I can't disclose, that basically what the contractors do is they, whatever the bill is, it's exactly what you say, and I'm glad that you can confirm this, that if the bill is for $10,000, and they can do it cheaper, they just take the $10,000 because that's what the Army's giving them. It actually leads to more waste and abuse.
And to make, to just to add more obscurity to the whole matter, they used to bring one pallet of saw blades in a commercial dump truck to my shop.
Well, maybe I'm just not enough doing saw sharpening, Michael. What's the significance of that?
In other words, you're talking about something that one person could carry with one hand.
I see.
Put in the back of a commercial dump truck and brought from defense personnel to my shop.
Right.
When obviously there are much more cost-effective
So not only are they not accountable for doing things like torture in Iraq, just as a matter of cost savings, they're wasting money. That's a great point. I want to thank you very much for your call, Michael.
And I thank you for taking time to listen to me.
Sure. Go ahead, Congresswoman.
Yeah,
please.
I wanted to back up what Michael said. I've had testimony in committee from the Inspector General of the Department of Defense, who testified in public that The Pentagon cannot accurately track $1.2 trillion.
Trillion.
Trillion dollars in transactions. Needless to say, that fact makes it impossible for the United States government to pass an overall audit. And that's
Who's supposed to be watching them, Congresswoman Schakowsky? Is this the Pentagon? Are there congressional oversight committees? I mean, someone should be watching this.
Absolutely. This was a congressional oversight committee. This was one of several hearings that we've had about credit card abuses, about the inability to track inventory, which ranges from on computers to erase boards, you know, and gets into things like we don't know where vests that have holes in them actually went, or protective garments that, I mean, it's a mess.
And who's, I mean, ultimately responsible? Is that Donald Rumsfeld? I mean,
got it.
All right.
Well, you know, except that the buck doesn't seem to stop anywhere these days.
No, everyone points it at everyone else. I know you have to go soon. I want to ask you one last question. Yes. This comes in an email, and I want to thank Bent. Bent, I have these regular conservative listeners, these intrepid listeners who come on and listen to my show, and I'm glad I have them because they keep us honest. They ask us tough questions, and I got Ben is one of my favorite conservative listeners, and he sent me an email. And again, I disagree with Ben on most things, but I'm very glad to have you listen, Ben. He writes, Mark, I'm tired of hearing about the torture. I want you and your guests to answer this. Would you rather have limbs torn from your body or stripped naked in front of soldiers? Put this into perspective. You make us sound as bad as Saddam. This is crazy. I do not think what happened was right or good, but it's not nearly as bad as what you are making it. How would you answer Ben's charge, Congresswoman?
You know, I think that it's in the eye of the beholder in part. And that mean what by that I mean that the fact of the United States as liberators coming to bring freedom and a much higher standard to Iraq, now to be engaged in this kind of sadistic behavior, whether or not it's as violent, and it certainly isn't as limbs being pulled out, those kinds of grins on the part of soldiers as they engage in these kinds of activities, take pictures, take videos, meaning that they obviously thought that it was okay.
And they smile. It's not even like they torture with a grim face, like I guess we have to torture people. They seem clearly to be enjoying it.
Exactly. And you know, as I say, these untrained soldiers, for the most part, must have thought that there wasn't going to be a problem when they took pictures of it, meaning that they were not instructed properly. The kind of damage that it does is kind of, to an individual, is kind of irrelevant to the way that this whole thing has affected our mission, which you asked me to explain what our mission is, I couldn't do it because at this point I really don't know. But certainly one of them was to say that at the Abu Ghraib prison, things like this are not going to happen anymore, and here they are happening at the hands of the United States of America.
Ben, I would just say in response to you that look at your standards. You're saying we're not as bad as Saddam. That's your standard of decency? That's your standard? I mean, if America, do we have to be only slightly better than Saddam? Shouldn't we have our own standards? To me, look, you know, to say that America's standards should be Saddam's standards and that we're not as bad as he is, to me, that's no judgment at all. If we're going to go in and invade a country, which frankly is a war I didn't support, the least we can do is show them that we're held to a higher standard. But, you know, Ben, I'm always glad when you send me an email, you keep us honest. But I agree with Councilman Schakowsky. I think this is horrible stuff. It shows America in a horrible light, and it is very, very bad. And we don't have to say it's as bad as Saddam to say that it's awful. And the last thing is that my understanding is, I know, Councilman Schakowsky, you have to go, but that there are some reports that have not yet been made public, but of things like rape, abuse, that actually are physical torture. Is that fair?
Well, we know that a dog was put on an individual and actually bit him. And when I hear Donald Rumsfeld and General Myers, in other words, and others saying much more is to come, you know, get ready, you know it looks pretty bad.
Well, Councilman Schakowsky, I appreciate your taking the time to come on the Inside Scoop and spread your knowledge and keep fighting the good fight to make the Bush administration cough up their secrets and stop, passing on government work to people who can't pass the buck.
Well, good for you. You're doing the same thing, and I appreciate it, Mark.
Thanks again for being on the air.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have to go to commercial break, but hang on, those of you that are calling, hang on, and we're going to get to your calls. We'll be back right after this. If you want to call in and make a comment, we encourage you to do so. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, toll-free, 877-577-2667, or you can send me an email by sending the email to comment, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be back with more of the Inside Scoop and your calls, 877-57-SCOOP, right after this. Hang on.
Growth surges in March, blared the headlines, and what a rose-colored rush of self-congratulation ensued. George W. gloated like the boy who stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum. Economists were high-fiving each other. Editorialists hailed the new boom, and you'd have thought the bluebird of happiness was singing in every backyard. But even as Bush strutted atop a made-for-TV platform that his staff had emblazoned with the slogan, Strengthening America's Economy, the whole scene had a false feel to it, eerily similar to George's strut in his Top Gun costume last year aboard that aircraft carrier that his staff had emblazoned with the declaration, Mission Accomplished in Iraq. Just as our troops are still mired in that bloody war, so are most Americans still mired in a low-wage economy that can't be fixed by presidential strut. For the powers that be to celebrate the addition of 300,000 jobs is ludicrous in an economy that has lost more than 2 million jobs since Bush took office and that continues to offshore our best-paying jobs. If you peek beneath the headlines, you'll find that the number of out-of-work Americans actually went up by 200,000 in March, and the number of underemployed, those wanting full-time work but only getting part-time jobs, was up by 300,000. Also, of the ballyhooed new jobs that Bush claims to have created in March, nearly 50,000 are not new at all. They're the jobs of California supermarket workers who had been on strike and have now returned to their old jobs. Worse, what Bush and the powers that be don't want us noticing is that nearly all of March's job creation was in low-wage, no-benefit work that cannot sustain a middle-class way of life. Indeed, despite the gloating over March's job stats, average weekly earnings went down in March. This is Jim Hightower saying, the real issue is not job numbers, but the decline in good jobs, the very lifeblood of America's middle class.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We've just finished a really terrific conversation with Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of Illinois, who's fighting the Bush administration to find more information about the tortures in Iraq, specifically asking to get the contracts between the Pentagon and the military contractors, many of whom are committing a bunch of this torture and abuse and humiliation. And you heard it here on the Inside Scoop first. They tell her, oops, they can't find the contracts. They've lost them. Uh-oh. You know, oops, we've misplaced our multi-billion dollar contract with thousands of workers being asked to torture people. We can't find it. But Congresswoman Schakowsky is pressing very hard. I think she was a terrific guest. I want to go to the phones. Our number is 877-57-SCOOP. Feel free to call in. Particularly want to encourage radiopower.org listeners to call in. Y'all are a terrific part of the show. And if you haven't given a donation to Radio Power, please consider doing it. It's entirely sponsored by your listener donations. And go ahead and click that donation link. Again, the number is 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at radioinsidescoop.com. Caller, thank you for being patient. You're on the air with Mark Levine. What's your first name and where are you from?
Yeah, I'm Armin, calling from Sarasota, Florida.
Hey, Armin from Florida. How are you?
Just fine. I tried to strike up a conversation with a Republican I know about this issue.
Yeah, what did he say, or she?
It was really bizarre.
Okay, tell me about
it. They just looked at me, this person, with glassy eyes, and I'll give you the quote. They said, anybody that criticizes Father Bush is a demon or a liberal.
They didn't really say that.
Are you serious?
This person said that?
Yes.
But they were joking, right?
I left them, and they were glassy-eyed. I was so shocked.
Well, this sounds like the androids really have taken over. I don't know. I mean, well, that may well be the case.
And I asked them, and they repeated the same thing, so I just got up and walked away. I couldn't handle it.
You know, I don't know what's going on down there in Sarasota. I don't know. And Florida is such an important state, too. What do you think is cause? Why are people in Sarasota specifically so conservative down there? Is it they're ex-military? They don't want to admit the military can do wrong? What's going on?
Well, I think it's all based on the theory that if enough people tell a lie often enough, it takes roots and people believe it.
So that which lie are you talking about? There's so many.
Well, I'm saying that the media has so much power.
Right.
And if they keep, you know, if they keep up being the propaganda arm of the Bush regime,
right,
you'll have to, you know, ask yourself, what would you expect?
Yeah, it's really amazing to me. I do have to say, and I'm not one for praising many Republicans, as you know, that even Republicans now in Congress are starting to speak out, and not just the ones we expect, not just John McCain, but we're hearing a number of Republicans, even they, some of them, not the majority by any stretch, but some of them are speaking out now against Don Rumsfeld.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I just got to say that some of the Republicans are starting to speak out against Don Rumsfeld, and that to me is a sign they really are in trouble.
Well, like, there's some good Republicans out there. You know, you got to consider that a lot of good Republicans voted for Clinton, and there'll probably be a lot of real good Republicans vote for John Kerry.
I think so. You know, I think as repeated things come out, one after the other after the other, I don't understand how people support Bush. I mean, maybe they're demon and glassy-eyed, but other than that, I mean, look wherever you turn. Look at the economy. It's not just lost more jobs since Herbert Hoover. It's the fact that we're losing real jobs. Real wages are going down. People are poorer now than ever before. Iraq is a colossal mess. It's becoming like Vietnam. There's no exit strategy. There's no strategy at all, it seems. You know, everywhere he turns, he's hiding. He's keeping secrets. And I just don't understand how people can believe him anymore. I mean, I'm not talking about we Democrats who always mistrusted him. I'm talking about middle Americans who don't follow politics.
because look at all the people that follow these dictators in history and these psycho-religious nuts.
Yep.
I mean, come on, man. You know, people, we all have frailties, and human nature is a powerful thing. And you get a lot of people together, unfortunately, in a herd, good or bad, or in a group, excuse me. And, you know, if somebody's real bold and a really good speaker and, you know, and the atmosphere
I guess,
is right.
But he's not even a good speaker.
Huh?
I said he's not even a good speaker, President Bush.
No. But see, the media, look at all the stuff the media cleans up, his language. Look at all the language quotes and stuff that they clean up. I mean, if this guy was just presented the way he really is and the way he really acts 95% of the time, I don't even think you'd have the people like that person that, you know, told me what they told me about Father Bush.
Well, Armin, keep up the good fight. Keep talking to people. I think for every person that's glassy-eyed and Bush is always right robot, there are people who can be persuaded. And just give them the facts. You know, say, you know, do you remember the economy 4 years ago? Do you remember we had peace 4 years ago? Are we better off than we were 4 years ago? And I don't know anyone that can say that we are. Thanks very much for your call, Armin. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We got to close up here. I got, let's see here. I got one less comment here. This is from Molly in Michigan, who says, I'm an avid listener of your program. I would just like to say that I'm not at all comfortable being under the control and influence of a government that loses contracts that put so many lives in danger. She puts loses in quotation marks. A government that loses contracts that put so many lives in danger, especially when those lives are being sent to fight in a war that I believe we shouldn't be in to begin with. I believe that anybody but Bush should be in office in 2004 and that the spending of this country by our president is out of control. Thanks very much for your email, Molly. Look, we got to remember there's rarely new stuff under the sun. Now that these tortures are just being conveyed, they're just being made public. You got to remember, folks, these tortures, some of them occur in our own prisons. There's humiliation in our own American prisons. And one good result, I think, of at least the publicity of this abuse, is that it's making people focus more on the lies of the Pentagon, focusing more on military contractors and the fact that they're not under any control, that they can't tell the truth about what's going on or they'll be fired. It's also bringing into, I think, the public eye prison abuses, and I think it will cause more people to look and see what we do in our own prisons. You know, it's striking to me the difference between liberals and conservatives on this. I think conservatives say, don't let people know the truth. If they know the truth about our abuses and so forth, then people will hate America. And I say, yeah, you're right. They will hate America if they know the truth. So the answer is tell them the truth and stop the abuses, and then they won't hate America. Very different way liberals and conservatives look at the same problem. Hey, I want to tell you a little bit about what's coming up. This is going to be a great week for shows. You won't want to miss any one of them. Tomorrow is, of course, Election Tuesday, every Tuesday from now until November 2nd. We talk about the election. We've got a representative, Nick Shapiro of the Democratic National Committee, will be there. Wednesday, a terrific guest, David Callahan, author of the book, The Cheating Culture, Why More Americans Are Doing Wrong to Get Ahead. You won't want to miss that. Then Thursday, we're doing You're Fired. It's our own reality show. You're Donald Trump. You can fire any one person at the Bush administration. Who would you choose? And Friday, we're going to talk about America's health care crisis with special guest Dr. Alan Sager, who runs the health reform program at Boston University School of Public Health. We've got a great bunch of shows for you. And if you want to support the Inside Scoop, go to RadioInsideScoop.com. You can advertise, or simply you can tell your friends, tell your radio stations that they shouldn't miss the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine, thanking you very much for taking the time to hear the show and signing off until tomorrow.